Carr takes the snap, backs up in the end zone. Carr's in Got trouble. Him. It's going to be a safety. Yeah. The Patriots collapse the quarterback. Derek Carr is sacked with Dietrich Wise Jr. coming away with the football. Are they going to say that he was across the goal line?
No.
Are they going to say he was contacted out of the end zone? The Patriots,
no.
The ball coming out, think they not only had a safety, they think they got a touchdown.
It's not even close. Carr knows it.
It will be a safety.
Carr knows it.
Las Vegas passer lost control of the ball prior to his knee touching the ground. It was recovered by New England number 91 in the end zone, results in a touchdown.
I mean, that one was clear as day. I don't know how they messed that up, but it was a touchdown for the Patriots defense. Forced fumble there. Brought to you by Avidia Bank. Avidia Bank and Stephon Gilmore have teamed up this season for Be a Champion for a Child to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Metro West. New England's defense forcing 3 turnovers, so Avidia Bank donates $3,000 to help at-risk children. They have donated $7,000 this season. Avidia Bank, honest to goodness. Welcome back to the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Jim Murray and Joe Murray. I'm joined by Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. So, Greg, it's ground and pound. It's bully ball. Do you still need a cold shower after today's Patriots 36-20 win over the Raiders?
A little bit. I might definitely need one after the film to see what, you know, these guys move in that massive humanity up front. I mean, because, you know, on some of those runs, especially by Sony Michel and some of the other stuff inside, I know Burkhead had a big run inside also. You know, it just looked like they were shoving people back. And you know, when you rush for 250 yards, it's not just the big guys. Everybody has to be involved. It was sketchy early. And you know, I know people were ready to write Sony Michel off, but I thought it was the tight ends on the first couple runs that weren't doing their job and missing blocks. And then suddenly they got on the same page and they were executing better. And you know, we saw the result.
Well, it was 2 whiffs early, right by Izzo. That's where it was like,
yep.
Oh boy, what's going on here?
But Izzo and Asiasi on the first 2 plays.
Yeah. And it's now 3 straight weeks, Greg, though, with a new quarterback for the first time in 20 years, basically. And today it's no David Andrews. They kicked Joe Tooney in at center for like the first time ever. And still they're penalty free. Like I know we don't focus on this that much, but I can't help but be impressed by that.
Yeah, no question. Especially when you consider that, you know, they're mixing people in. I mean, not only did Tooney move over to center, but you have Onwenu starting at left guard. He's been in there. Justin Heron got a series when Isaiah Wynn had something going on with his calf. And, you know, he's another late-round rookie that they just put in there, and they're executing. I do think that in terms of mental mistakes and the penalties – being lower, I do think Newton really helps that, because you know there really aren't that many options on different plays. It's not like, you know, when Brady was out there, he could basically reinvent a play call from whole cloth when he's on the field. With Cam, it's pretty much the play call, and you get the snap count right, and plus, you know, no fans in the stands and things like that. That all factors in, but no question that all these guys, the new pieces are folding in and executing, is a great sign for this team.
Great. That Raiders defense, or at least the defensive line, was dominant early on in that game. We saw Hurst getting in back. What changed second half? Was it just more misdirection and running to the outside? What did you see from Josh McDaniels and some of the calls?
Yeah, it's a good question, Joe. And I really need to watch the film to understand it. But I think I will say, you know, give Paul Gunther, the Raiders defensive coordinator, a lot of credit. I think he came out with a little bit of a different plan than the Patriots anticipated, which you don't normally get from Gunther. He's pretty much a guy who runs in his scheme, and that's about it. And it's pretty simple. And they don't have a lot of great personnel outside of Max Crosby, who I think is a dynamite player, and sort of not a lot of people know about him, but he's sort of like a little bit of a lesser J.J. Watt. He's that type of player. And we saw he had 2 sacks today. He impacted a lot of plays. But I just think it was a matter of, you know, I thought it was a good adjustment by McDaniels in the second half to the inside stuff wasn't working. So they started to go outside, and they started to, you know, spread the Raiders out a little bit, and then come back and hit the inside stuff and you know, work double teams to the second level. And I thought the, you know, between the outside runs, J.J. Taylor, sort of gave the Raiders something different to look at, and then you hit back in the middle. I thought it was a good adjustment by McDaniels, and I also thought, you know, there was a certain point, I think late in the second half or definitely in the third quarter, where the Raiders just looked tired on defense. And, you know, it took that Saints game on Monday night, short week, you know, just dealing with that. I think it all took its toll on that team. And I don't, you know, they're a very young team, and I saw a lot of them last year. What I saw today out of them offensively and defensively is pretty much who they are. They're just, you know, the Patriots are just a much more professional outfit at this point with a lot of veterans. And I think the Raiders, in terms of conditioning and discipline and things like that, they just come up short, and it gets exposed against good veteran sound fundamental teams like the Patriots.
Greg, it's like pretty much every other team in the league, maybe except for like the Chiefs, maybe the Seahawks, yeah, who got them last week. Everyone else is
Ravens.
Stupid. You look around the rest of the league, everyone else is dumb. They really are. What do you think of Cam Newton today?
Not good. I didn't think he was good. I didn't think that his eyes were very good today. I thought he wasn't seeing things clearly. He was late on a bunch of reads. Of course, the interception was terrible, a terrible force play that he even admitted that he was pressing. You know, he missed some things. Like there was a late throw to Edelman where he actually had Damir Bird was coming wide open for a, you know, about a 70-yard touchdown. He just didn't see him. I don't know if that was the Raiders. The Raiders kept changing coverages, whereas the Seahawks, I thought, pretty much stayed in there, you know, cover three zones, so they knew what to expect. They were ready. I think the Raiders took them by surprise, but it was not good. But on the other side of the coin, I think it's a good sign for this team that just three games into the season, they don't need Cam Newton to be Superman, either with his legs or his arms or both, and they can still score, you know, 34 points and win rather easily against, you know, a team that will be in the playoff hunt. I mean, they weren't good today. I do think that the Raiders are a good team, so I think that was a good sign that they didn't need Newton to carry them. In fact, they didn't need much out of him at all in this game, and they were still able to put up points and win.
What did Cam Newton see on that interception? Was he just trying to force the play there on a third down to not have another three and out? It just was a bad pass, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I just think he has this tendency sometimes to, you know, try to make a play and he waits a while and sometimes he can lose track of, you know, what's going on with the defense. And so I just think it was just a mistake. It's all right. He'll learn from it. But yeah, it was not good. And you know, luckily the Patriots were able to survive it.
What did you make of Stephon Gilmore's day today? He gives up that DPI that leads to ultimately the touchdown with like 34 seconds left before the end of the first half. We're looking at a 13-10 game when it felt like it was over after that first touchdown. That's how I felt. But I don't know. He hasn't been great these first 3 weeks, right?
No. I mean, that defensive pass interference play before halftime is just – it's inexcusable. It just can't – it can't happen in that type of situation. And it was definitely the right call. And there's no way that the Raiders should drive 75 yards in 28 seconds. That's embarrassing. They're lucky that the Raiders missed a field goal on the first drive of the second half, or else we would have had a tie game. The Raiders, you know, look, we know, we all watched the game. The Raiders left a ton of points on the field, and you knew that was going to come up and bite them, and it did. But, you know, look, the Raiders' wideouts didn't really do much in this game. There were a few plays made against Jonathan Jones, and, you know, Hunter Renfro made a few plays. I know people will get all over him, but I don't think people appreciate how hard playing slot cornerback is in this league, especially when you're a man-to-man team.
Greg, the defensive communication today wasn't great, and they had the three timeouts there late. They lost the timeout there late in the game. Too many men on the field at one point, substitution errors. What does that attribute to? And I know I asked you a couple of weeks ago, who's calling the plays? Is it just injuries and trying to fit guys? What did you see out there today?
Well, Joe, that's an excellent question. It's actually something, as soon as we get off, and I'm gonna write about the defense off of this game, because I do think – there were some adjustments that they made in the second half that, you know, being there live at the game, it's really hard to see. And I do think that I think I'm just guessing, but from what I saw in the game, I think they changed up personnel a lot in the second half, and I think they had a lot of specific things that they did defensively that took a lot of different personnel, and I think they got caught a couple times not being in the right stuff. But you know, they decided they would rather take a timeout than getting exposed, and it's certainly not ideal. And it could have, in a different game and against a better opponent, that could have killed them, that they didn't have the ability to challenge a play in the last, you know, the next 10 minutes before the 2-minute warning and other situations. But they got away with it in this game. I think, you know, we'll never know. They'll never admit it. Steve Belichick calls the defensive plays. Belichick runs that unit. Bill Belichick runs that unit. Steve calls the plays. Normally, Gerard Mayo is the guy in charge of substitutions. So there was something that was off on those plays. I'm just glad for their sake that they got on the right page and it ended up working out for them, but it won't in other games.
And up front, who stood out to you today? It felt like they had a bit more of a pass rush. Is that just because, you know, you've seen Chase Winovich, who's bulked up and coming to this year? I think he's been one of the bright spots on this defense up front. Did they make any you know, assignment changes or anything like that? Because it did look a little bit different.
Not really. I thought that the Patriots were actually ripe for the taking defensively if Gruden just stuck with his running game. I mean, you know, they did adjust. I think it was Jacobs went from about 8 yards in a carry in the first half to, you know, about 3 or 4 in the second half. So they did a better job against them. But the Patriots were giving them opportunities with light boxes. I mean, they were going up again. There were times when the Raiders would have 3 tight ends on the field and the Patriots would match that with nickel and you should be able to run all day against it. And sometimes they did, but sometimes Gruden threw and you get this. It infuriates me watching these West Coast head coaches, because I covered one in Mike McCarthy for a long time, and they're all the same. They will never run the ball 40 times in a game, even though that's what the defense is giving you, because I don't know, they either need to look smart or whatever, or, you know, you'll get from, I know some of the answers I got from McCarthy in the past when he was with the Packers was, well, you know, that pass that we threw is pretty much, we consider it a run, which is a bunch of bull crap. And it just aggravates me. And I think that the Raiders, when they go back and look at this and when we look at the film, they're going to realize not only did they leave a lot of points on the field, but they left a lot of plays just out of their own arrogance. I mean, the Patriots were giving them the run, and they just would not take it.
More coming up with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. You want to get on and talk with Greg, 617-779-0985. That's coming up here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show as the Patriots beat the Las Vegas Raiders today 36-20. Joe Murray is going to get you caught up here with the Sports Hub headlines, get you the latest scores from some of the late games. But first, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.
Newton surveys a 4-man front. 2 deep safeties for the Raiders. Cam Newton with a play fake to Michelle in the pocket. Steps up, throws to the middle. There caught by Edelman at the 48. Coming to the near sideline. And ridden down by Joyner, the former Ram, with a tackle at the Raider 48-yard line.
Time for the Bay Coast Bank catch recap. Heard Cam Newton there to Julian Edelman for 15 yards. Right in the middle of the field. Patriots 36-20. Winners over the Raiders today at Gillette Stadium. Bay Coast Bank and Nikhil Harry have teamed up again for Catches for College to create college scholarships for youth in their community. New England's offense, 17 catches. So Bay Coast Bank donates $850 this week. They've donated $2,100 so far this season. Bay Coast Bank, do what's just right. Shaw's Patriots postgame show, Jim Murray, Joe Murray, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Greg, I know what I wanted to ask you. You know, I was surprised at the game that Darren Waller, the tight end of the Raiders, had today. I see after the game, head coach John Gruden said, quote, "We had Waller open. Film is out there for everybody to look at, but New England did a nice job. They did a better job than we did today." I know that there was the one-on-one play that they showed where there was the penalty on Juwan Williams, but I don't know. I thought he was going to have at least a decent game today, but they shut him out. Was it just really good man coverage on him, or did they bracket him? Was there something else going on there?
Come on, Jim. Haven't you watched the Patriots play defense? You know, when the other team has really one viable passing target, those guys never do anything.
I know, but still. This kid's pretty damn good.
And that's the thing without Ruggs out there and The Raiders are very young. They had, you know, Edwards was battling an injury the whole game. Zay Jones stinks. They don't. Renfro's fine at what he does, but the Raiders really don't have anything in the passing game. And this was an issue that they had all of last year. It was Jacobs and Waller. That's the whole show. When a good team shut them, those two guys down, or at least limited them, the Raiders couldn't get much done. And right now, without Ruggs and without other options, it's the same thing. And the Patriots, you knew that they were going to have a good plan coming in. It looked like a lot of Juwan Williams. I'm sure there were plays where they changed up and maybe ran a robber coverage sort of to try to trap Carr into a turnover and things like that. But this Raiders game, their offensive game, was a carbon copy of a lot of things that I saw last year and even to this point in the season. And it you could tell by some of the stuff that Gruden said in the post game, including that quote, that there's a frustration level there, because this is a guy, Gruden, who is one of the, since he's returned, he's one of the best play callers, game planners in the game offensively. And Carr just, there are times where he just does not pull the trigger. He is afraid to make plays sometimes. And I'm not saying he doesn't make plays, because he does. I mean, that throw to Renfro for the touchdown or near touchdown was just outstanding. And he will do that at times. But there are other times where they have a chance to really, you know, to get a score, to really press up against a good team, and he just will not pull the trigger. And if I were Gruden, I would be frustrated. I thought that might make them look towards more of a change in this offseason, maybe even a Brady, but they didn't do that. Carr's fine, but he's not aggressive enough for me.
Yeah, one thing we've been talking about the last couple of weeks is pass rush. I mean, obviously Winovich today, but I like to play a Shalik Calhoun. I know he's a former Raider, so maybe he had inspired play today. But, you know, maybe that's a guy that can help out at linebacker, defensive end. It's just this is a guy that, you know, was hung around last year, and he's making plays this year so far.
Yeah, Calhoun's a guy that I've been waiting to pop a little bit. Because he looks like Tarzan. I mean, he does. I mean, he's got a great body for a defensive end. He looks the part. It's a reason why he was a reasonably high draft choice for the Raiders. But for some reason, he's never been able to put it together. Last year, he got hurt early, and that kind of wiped him out for the rest of the season. But he's a good player. I do think, though, you know, I would caution too much on what went on with the defensive line today, because the Raiders, you know, without Richie Incognito, who's one of the best left guards in the league, right tackle Denzel Good is just, he's okay. They didn't have Trent Brown. The right guard Gabe Jackson is just okay, and so it was a good matchup for these Patriots. It's good to see them make plays, obviously, but I wouldn't read too much into this. This is a Raiders team that usually, without their best linemen, they do have a tendency to get handled at the point of attack. That being said, you know, they were dominating the line of scrimmage early for about the first quarter of the half on both sides of the ball. It's just, I think that the Raiders ran out of steam, and I think that Gruden just didn't call enough running plays.
Yeah, one change from last week, we mentioned the Patriots struggled with Seattle to force them to third downs. The Raiders today, 3 of 9 on third down, 2 of 5 in the red zone. So, you know, the Patriots were much better in those areas today.
Yeah, you would still like to, and the turnovers definitely factored into this, but you would still like to see them force a few more third downs, because I don't think for a while there I was looking. So they only forced 3 first downs in the first half. Second and 6 in the second half, and that's when the score got to their advantage, and so that's great. And once the game got to 2 scores, that's exactly where the Patriots want to be. They want to be up 2 scores. It forces the other team to throw a little bit more into the strength of their defense. It's sort of what we talked about last week, where the Patriots could never get the game that way, and so you just wonder, would the defense be as effective without the advantage on the scoreboard? We'll never know, but that's going to be proven out here with some really good teams, the Chiefs, the 49ers, the Ravens coming to town. But I think the defense needs to do a better job of getting to third down But we'll have to see how that goes.
I've seen Devin Asiasi out there these last 3 weeks, mostly as a blocker. Dalton Keene's been inactive these last few weeks. Why, Greg, have these rookie tight ends, is it yet that they've been asked to actually do anything, like in the passing game?
Well, Keene, it is definitely the injury. This was a guy who was slated or, you know, working his way to become sort of a H-back, fullback, sort of a hybrid type of guy, which, you know, the Patriots really wanted to use, and it's been used really well in other places like San Francisco, Baltimore. There's a lot of teams that want to go that route. The Packers look to be going that way. It's a lot from the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree. Those guys see a lot of value in those athletic fullbacks, and the Patriots seem to be going there. And then Keene at some point got a neck injury, and that's for a guy who's going to be asked to block sometimes. That's a rough injury. And who knows whether they're going to get anything out of him. At least I don't think they put him on injured reserve to this point. Devin Asiasi, the guy's kind of a mystery. He got off to a good start, and you could see why they traded up to draft him early on in training camp. He showed some wiggle. He could get down the field, make some athletic plays. But at some point, he started to take a step back, and going on their usage, he's never really recovered. That they haven't even thought enough of him to at least dial up one schemed play for him, even if it's like a tight end screen or anything, tells me that they don't have very much confidence in him at this point. Look, he's a young kid. It's only 3 games in the season. Things can change. But at some point with a lot of these rookies, it's not the rookie wall, but they at some point they realize, you know, the NFL is tough. And it's either you step up and push through that, or you kind of don't and stay in the background. And so I think right now that's where Asiasi is. They need him to step forward. But in terms of that, it only takes one play, one interaction at practice, and that could sort of flip on the light switch. And hopefully that happens for him, because they absolutely need something out of the tight end, or this offense is not going to realize its full potential.
More with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal coming up, including a look ahead to the next opponent for the Patriots, the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City next Sunday. That's coming up here in the Shaw's Patriots postgame show, the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.
Newton takes the snap, hands it off to Sonny Michel, runs to the right, slips again, carries across the 45, go. Cuts left past midfield, accelerates to the 40 of Las Vegas, to the 30 left side, chopped down from behind by Morrow. The linebacker runs him down at the Raider 25-yard line.
Big run for Sonny Michel today, who had 117 yards, longs to the day, a 48-yarder. Time for the stop and shop. 5 Yards update. Stop and Shop has teamed up with Sonny Michel for 5 Yards for families to donate 5 bags of groceries for every 5 Yards rushing today. New England had 250 rushing yards. That means Stop and Shop donates 50 bags of groceries. So far, they've donated 93 bags of groceries to help keep food on the table for families in need. That is Stop and Shop. Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Greg, next week, the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. It feels like the Patriots already have a little bit of an advantage because they're getting them on a short week as the Kansas City plays tomorrow night in Baltimore. Tough game for them against the Ravens.
Oh, no question. I mean, if you're going to play the Chiefs, you're like, all right, well, I want them after they play, you know, Baltimore on a short week. And that, because that game is going to take a ton out of them. And the Ravens are going to want to play really physical ball. They're going to hit hard. They're going to run the ball. They're going to run them sideways to sideways defensively. You know, so this is a really good time to get the Chiefs, but it's you look, the Patriots are still going to have their hands full with that offense. And I think that Spagnuolo's made a lot of strides with the defense over the past, since about the halfway point of last season. I think that was one of the big keys to their Super Bowl run, was the defense coming together and playing good ball. And so, yeah, I mean, I can't wait for that game, but I can't wait for Monday night's game either, because that's going to be tremendous.
Right, just thinking about the roster in general, right? We know some guys can come off injured reserve. How's this all going to work out? You got Burkhead, You know, Sony Michel making plays. You got Damian Harris possibly coming back as well. Like, how are they going to, and James White, of course, how are they going to fit all these guys into the offense going forward?
Well, you know, I don't think J.J. Taylor's here for very long. I mean, he's been a nice little addition and a nice change of pace, but I don't think he's been a difference maker. And plus, a lot of it, I think, hinges on when James White is going to return to the team and sort of his mental state and things like that. It could be a while. Could be this week. We don't really know. He's on his own timetable, as he should be. But I think normally the way Patriots do things, once a guy comes back from injury, at least it wasn't his legs. But, you know, this is a guy in Damian Harris who even before this didn't have a whole lot of playing experience. And so I would assume that Sony keeps his starting spot for the first week. They mix Harris in. I think that Burkhead, you know, it was nice what Burkhead did, but this is what he's supposed to do. He's a backup. He's a role player. He's a matchup guy. And as soon as James White comes back, he goes back into his role. And I think it all work out. But there's no I have a hard time seeing them keeping, you know, what would it be? Five running backs. Yeah.
So do
I don't see that happening.
Did they maybe look to trade someone? I mean, they still have, I think they could use maybe another wide receiver. They certainly could use some help at linebacker just in terms of depth. Is that feasible?
Is there any value for Sony Michel out there, I guess, is where I'm going with it? Because after today, like, is it worth hanging on to him, or is he someone you might dangle out there for a receiver?
From my conversations with people around the team, they're very cognizant of depth this year. I mean, you could even look at a guy like Corey Cunningham is a veteran tackle, yet he's been inactive for every game behind some rookies. And to me, that's about depth. And I think running back will also be about depth. I don't think there's much of a market. I mean, who knows? Maybe there is for a guy like Michelle. But, you know, if you trade him, I mean, what happens with Damian Harris? What if he gets hurt again? Mm. What if he's not durable? What, and then you're going to roll with Rex Burkhead and J.J. Taylor? I don't really see that. So I don't think Sony Michel's going anyplace. That would be a surprise to me. I don't think Burkhead's going anyplace. And, you know, J.J. Taylor, I don't know. That's going to be tough. I mean, do they think they'll be able to get him back to the practice squad? All that stuff, I don't know. They have Isaiah Zuber up on the roster, but perhaps he can go back. It's, you know, I don't think it's – I get it, Joe. I understand your point, but I think sometimes people get a little bit enamored with people who are on their team, sort of like Celtics fans and their draft picks and their bench people. But, you know, a lot of these guys don't go on to do anything. I mean, just because they're contributors here doesn't mean they are – of great value that you need to get something for. So we'll see. But I assume that I'm going with the thought that they are going with Sony Michel and Damian Harris as the first two backs. James White is the third down back. Rex Burkhead sort of fits in as a backup / matchup guy. And then we'll see.
All right, Greg. So Jim and I have been talking about this. We're seeing it everywhere now. And there's this talk about possibly giving Cam Newton an extension now, or readjusting his contract. I obviously want to see this play out and see what happens at the end of the year, but what are your thoughts on those type of discussions, or at least, you know, people in the media bringing that up?
Well, you know, if people want to know my expanded thoughts on this, I did write a column on this this morning at bostonsportsjournal.com. But basically my synopsis is, and I'm the guy who on August 6th wrote a column saying they should do something about Cam Newton's contract. And I didn't mean give him a contract extension. I meant guarantee his incentives to get him up to around $7 million. So it's not embarrassing that your quarterback is making $1.75 million this year. But as far as the long-term contract extension, sure, if Cam Newton wants to play ball and take less than market value, sure, I might look into that for a couple of years as long as there are protections. But in general, I am against it because we don't know what Cam Newton is going to be. We don't know what his health situation is going to be. This is a guy who was up for NFL MVP in 2018 through eight games when the Panthers were 6-2. He was playing the best football of his career. And then he got hurt and didn't really do much of anything the rest of the year and was actually borderline terrible for the rest of the year because of his health issues. I'm more of I want to keep Cam in good spirits. I want to guarantee his incentives this year. And then if he does have a good year, if he doesn't want to take a team-friendly deal, then I'm putting a franchise tag on him. And I might do it a second year, too, because if you look at it, the three-year value with what he's making this year right now, even if he gets some of his incentives, and plus the franchise over the next 2 years, it's only 3 years and about $67 million. And so that's an average of about $22 million a year for a franchise quarterback, and that's still a great bargain.
It just feels so premature to me. It's like people, I think, could just see the shiny new toy. He's very charismatic. He looks like he's healthy. And it's like, oh, we got
like all the nicknames, too.
Oh, yeah. It's one nickname after another, Greg. He's got one for every single player on the team.
I want to know when he's going to get to the media.
Yeah, Smoking Joe for Joe Tooney. Just it feels early. So, all right, before we wrap and let you go, they got a tough game in KC, followed by what should be a layup against what looks like a bad Denver team that's losing to Brady and the Bucks today. So they realistically could be 3-2 heading into the bye. If they are, Greg, would they have exceeded your expectations at that point, or will they be right where you thought they were?
Right where I thought they would be. You know, I had them pretty much in line to this point, and I'm trying to remember correctly. But, you know, the schedule does stay hard. I mean, in my preseason prediction, I had them starting 4-6. Including with this start that they have right now. I mean, those games against San Francisco is a little bit more winnable now, considering what the Niners are going through and the injury issues, but they're a good team. But, you know, the Ravens, Chiefs, 49ers, there will probably be another loss in there. I do think that the second half sets up for them. I have them finishing 6-0 to win the AFC East and to grab a playoff spot. But they are far from out of the woods. This season is going to be a grind. It's going to be a battle, and it really starts this coming week.
All right, Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Read his thoughts on why the Patriots should not give Cam Newton a contract extension at bostonsportsjournal.com. We'll talk to you Tuesday, the usual spot at 2 o'clock on Filigree, Mass.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Greg.